What is it with people from Chicago? They're so happy to have been born there.
Chicago, when does it end?
So many people can't wait to tell me they're from Chicago.
You wouldn't understand.
The Bears Nation Podcast is powered by OnTap Sports Network.
I've been here 9 months. Things have gone very quickly. We've accomplished a lot, but I'm extremely impatient.
It is a beautiful day in Chicago.
I'm competitive. I want to win, but I also want to do it with integrity and style and grace and class and humility.
We'll call Chicago and notify them of the situation.
This is a destination. People want to come to Chicago.
Hello, Chicago!
And as I sit here today, unequivocally, I believe that we have the right set of individuals, and my expectations going into this season are extremely high, that we need to win the NFC North.
See you in the Super Bowl.
It's the Bears Nation Podcast with Kevin Lapka and Jake Hassan.
Both men of Chicago.
It's Bears Nation, baby.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Let's go.
All right, this is Bears Nation Podcast. It is Wednesday, March 13th, and we know what everybody's here for. You're all here for the same thing. Dylan Cease is a Padre. Let's talk about it. No, I'm kidding. Obviously, this is a Bears podcast. That's what you're here for. Kevin told me he wants to yell, so we're going to let him do that. A bunch of things to discuss. The Bears haven't been super active in free agency. They signed Kevin Byard, safety from the Eagles. Good signing. You needed a safety. Makes sense. Was one of the guys that we kind of mentioned when we talk about safeties. Not really, but makes sense. They signed DeAndre Swift to a 3-year, $24 million deal. People were all up in arms until they saw what all the other running backs got, and now it makes more sense and doesn't seem like as much of an overpay. And a couple things happen elsewhere around the league. Most notably, the Falcons signed Darnell Mooney and the Titans signed Calvin Ridley, which seems to imply that those are two teams that will not be taking receivers at the top of the draft. Two teams that pick ahead of you, which makes the likelihood of Roma Dunze or maybe Malik Nabers or maybe even Marvin Harrison Jr. falling to you at number 9. So a bunch to discuss, but of course, as always, things must start with the one thing, and that is the White Sox might win 50 games. No, again, I'm kidding. It starts with the quarterback, and Kevin said he wants to yell about some things, so go ahead, buddy.
Do we really want to start here? I was going to lead us in with some free agency. I was going to lead us in with some grades, evaluation.
You're the one that said you were fired up. You were the one that said you had some things to get off your chest. So whatever makes this easier for you, you tell me.
We'll get to it. Look, I am fired up about it, and it's just as it pertains. I'll preface it with this. We'll get into a deeper conversation about the quarterback situation and where it stands and the Fields trade situation as of March 13th. But just in general, the thing that's been on my mind the past couple of days since we've seen all of this come out about the quote-unquote market for Justin Fields and the contrasting reports from the two most plugged-in insiders in the NFL between Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter. And it just seems to me, Jake, like if I'm being totally honest, I legitimately don't think anybody knows anything. I really don't. And I know we've been kind of saying that here, but I think we maybe read way too far into the tea leaves on what he said at the combine about the whole do right by Justin thing. I think we read way too much into that. We've taken some sort of, reports into account more than others. We've read too deep in these things, which is what you do. When this is the most talked about story in sports for the past 2 months, these things are going to happen. I'm not saying it's not inevitable, but you have to take a step back now and you have to sort of get your mind right and look at it logically and understand, look, you can believe that all along they were going to take Caleb Williams. You can believe that, but you still have to approach this with every perspective. And Jake, that's what we're here to do. We're here to provide perspective. We're here to take a look at this from all angles. And it seems to me that every new thing that has come out in the last couple of weeks for a majority of people has just been confirmation bias to what they've already predetermined to have been the case about the quarterback. And that's an unfair evaluation. It's an unrealistic evaluation, and it's frustrating. So when I see these things happen, the immediate response and reaction is, well, the league just doesn't think Justin Fields is good anymore. And that's confirmation to what people have been saying about, oh, it's been Caleb all along and all these different things. why we just don't have to draw that conclusion. You have to look at all perspectives. It is very much in the realm of possibility. They were not shopping him aggressively all along, like I insisted a week ago. And there's still a percent chance, whether it's large or not, that they are sticking on to Justin Fields. At this moment, I think they're going to draft Caleb Williams. I do. And everyone knows how I feel about Justin Fields. I think they're going to draft Caleb Williams as of March 13th. But we are here to provide perspective. And it would be negligent to not at least entertain the idea that that is a possibility as we sit here on March 13th and see the way this has all played out. So I just want to start it off with that because it just frustrates me how the way the conversation has evolved, I guess, is the right way to put it. And I don't know if you agree with me. I might be on a limb on this, but just taking the temperature from around the fan base and around the entire NFL, like we've gotten too crazy reading into certain things. We have to take it for what it is. And we have to accept the fact that I don't think anybody, even the most plugged in guys, Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter, know what the Chicago Bears are doing at the quarterback position. Do you agree?
Yeah. I mean, my stance really hasn't changed. It makes me laugh. Just seeing you on Twitter live and die with every report. Like every single report about Justin Fields or Caleb Williams, there's a Kevin Lapka quote tweet, there's a Kevin Lapka reply, and it's a Kevin Lapka thread. And it's very funny to me. I applaud how invested you are in this. And maybe it's just because I've been a Bears fan longer, or maybe I've just been more jaded by the people that I talk to. Excuse me. But it's just my stance hasn't changed. I agree. I still think they're going to draft Caleb Williams. There's still openings out there. I agree. I think that most people know nothing. I think there's speculation. I think there's
right.
It just comes down to what your opinion is. And I still think that Justin Fields ends up traded. I have a very small fear that the Bears will do something incredibly stupid.
Sure.
Would be to hang on to both of them and try to make it work, which would be insane. I think there's a small percent chance that they trade the pick. The majority of my brain thinks that, 97% of my brain thinks that they're still drafting Caleb Williams, number one overall, whatever, 6 weeks from now, 7 weeks from now. But 1.5% of my brain thinks that they'll stick to Justin Fields and trade the pick and go into next year with him. Another 1.5% of my brain thinks they'll do the dumbest thing imaginable and try to keep both and try to make it work and just let the locker room implode, which would be, again, the dumbest possible thing. Listen, there's still quarterback openings out there. Denver still desperately needs a quarterback. If you think Minnesota is running it with Sam Darnold, you're a fool. The Raiders, I still want to say, aren't completely off the table. I know the Luke Getsy thing, blah, blah, blah. But let's remember, neither Justin Fields nor Luke Getsy have outwardly said anything bad or even kind of negative or even implied that about either of each other. And great. Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell are there. Whoop-de-doo. So I think there's three legitimate options. Did I say the Seahawks? I did. Oh, no. Yeah. Right? No. I said Denver, no, you Minnesota, did not say Seattle. Vegas, and Seattle. Because it seems like they are kind of assessing their options and they're not married to Geno. So there's one for sure opening. And you could say what you want. Oh, Poles won't trade Fields to, interdivision. I don't think it's off the table for the right price. If you're not getting anything else and you want to draft Caleb Williams, but there's theoretically four openings. I think this is just going to take a long time. And I know a couple weeks ago we were saying that this would go quickly and this would go fast. Clearly that's not the case. And so strap in. Like Shane said in the chat, welcome to day 184 of Justin Fields versus Caleb Williams. Guess what? We're in for another at least,
we are,
what, 30, 40 days? Because the draft's not for 40-something days. I mean, draft's end of April. So that's 45 days, let's call it. So get ready to get to day, 230, because that's what we're on track for. Could something happen tomorrow? Sure, of course. But, it just comes down to your opinion. Until we actually see something happen, to tie this into the baseball news today, nobody thought Dylan Cease was getting traded. 2 days ago, everyone thought Dylan Cease was going to be a member of the White Sox. He'd be starting on opening day. 48 hours later, he's a San Diego Padre. It's all what it is until it isn't. Situations are situational. So we're sitting here like lame ducks until Justin Fields gets traded, which I still think is going to happen.
And I agree with you again, but I like what you did there, Jake. You said you entertain the other possibilities And that sure. is why
I've said that the whole time.
I know you have, and that's why I appreciate you. It's because we have gotten to the point where so many people have just neglected to entertain any other interpretation of the things that we are learning at this point in time. So when you read things about the market for Justin Fields, the interpretation is nobody wants him and he's not a quarterback in the NFL anymore. He's not a starting quarterback in the NFL. When 3 months ago, everyone was so convinced that he is beloved by a majority of the players and coaches around the league, and he is a starter worth giving up a second round pick for. And it's just like, that's why the evolution has frustrated me. So you take a step back, and it's all stemming from this thing that we heard on Monday and Tuesday from Ian Rapoport, Adam Schefter, about how the market is tanked. And of course, this is a fallout of Kirk Cousins signing with Atlanta and Russell Wilson signing with Pittsburgh, like you mentioned. But I'm here to tell you, it is absolutely outrageous to believe that teams don't think Justin Fields is a starter in the NFL and that he's only yielding a day three pick. It is outrageous. That is not the case whatsoever. I would be floored.
I don't know about whatsoever.
Jake, I will bet you, like, would you put a bet down, $100 with anybody, not with me, that Justin Fields is not a backup in the NFL next year? Like, he is a starter in the NFL next year. And if he's not, then the league
at any point wrong with the league. Or starts the year.
Day one, week one. There is no scenario, in my opinion.
So you're saying two-way market, yes, no. Is Justin Fields a starter, week one of NFL season?
Like, come on.
Well, just look at the openings, Kevin. Here's the problem is, okay, I mentioned four teams that could possibly take Justin Fields. One of those has no quarterback right now. Even if he goes to Seattle, he would be theoretically competing with Geno Smith for the job. Even if he goes to Vegas, he's theoretically competing with Gardner Minshew and AOC for the job. Even if he goes to Minnesota, he's theoretically competing with Sam Darnold. If he goes anywhere else, any of the other teams that I didn't list, any other, 26 other teams, he's a backup. Like, let's go, like really fast. Really fast, let's go through it. Like, okay, New England. So theoretically, but it seems like they're like, but okay, let's see, even if he goes to New England, he's theoretically competing with Jacoby Brissett, at least from day at the start for the starter. Not saying he can't win that job, but that's what they would say. They wouldn't say Justin Fields is the starter right away. So like
Denver.
Right. Well, Denver would be the one because they literally don't have a quarterback otherwise, right? Like Jarrett Stidham. Yeah. Okay. You would obviously be the starter over him right now. But you go anywhere, Arizona Cardinals. He's behind Kyler. Baltimore Ravens, obviously. Atlanta Falcons, obviously behind Kirk Cousins. Bills behind Josh Allen. Panthers behind Bryce Young. Bengals behind Joe Burrow. Browns behind Deshaun Watson. Cowboys behind Dak. Denver open. Detroit behind Goff. Houston behind Stroud. Packers behind Love. Colts behind Richardson. Rams behind Stafford. Jaguars behind Lawrence and probably Mac Jones. Vikings.
Oh, stop it.
That was hyperbolic. Vikings, at least competing with Sam Darnold, not a given that he'll be the starter.
No, not competing. Jake, not
they,
competing.
Again, they would not say, they if Justin Fields was traded to the Vikings right now, they wouldn't say he's the starter. They just paid
Sam
Darnold.
They
wouldn't do it. Kansas City Chiefs, obviously behind Mahomes. Saints behind Carr because they're paying him $1 billion.
Would they? Justin Fields is a better player than Derek Carr.
This isn't about that, though.
Okay.
This is about what would happen. Like, the Saints are paying Derek Carr, they would not play Justin Fields over him, at least right away. Raiders would have to compete for the job, would not be the day one starter. Giants are for some reason beholden to Daniel Jones unless they can somehow offload him. They would be competing. Fields could win that job, sure, but would not be the unquestioned day one starter. Chargers behind Herbert. Eagles behind Hurts. Dolphins behind Tua. Niners behind Purdy. Patriots open, but again, would be competing, would not be the unquestioned day one starter. Same with the Seahawks and Geno. Jets behind Rodgers, Bucks behind Baker, Steelers behind Wilson, Commanders open again. Another situation where it could go there, but they're probably drafting a quarterback.
Yeah,
Titans behind Levis. So
Titans behind Levis. That's funny.
100%. They would give Levis way more run than Fields.
No. Disagree.
Okay, but okay. So even in that scenario, same thing. Wait, they'd go. Okay, they're competing. They would not name him the day one starter. I think Levis is talented. I think he could be good in this league. But you know, like, so we just went through literally every team. There's no scenario except the Broncos where he walks in day one as the unquestioned starter. So I don't think it's outrageous to think that his market has diminished just because there's not a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, I don't think that's what it's about. I really don't. But I don't think here's the point. I don't think the market has diminished because I don't think it ever was at a point where there was a specific price tag and the Bears were actively shopping him. I'm sure the Bears had a sign up that said yes, available for trade, like on Madden when you can put up your players on the trade block. I'm sure they did that for Justin Fields, but they weren't aggressively making offers. I'm sure Ryan Poles was answering the phone, but he wasn't the one dialing. And sure,
they could be waiting for somebody to get desperate.
Well, they're waiting for someone to get desperate, but they're also, this is the thing we've said all along, Jake. And we said this from day one. You have a team right now, especially after some of the moves you made in free agency and knowing what you have in the draft and knowing what you came off of last year, that could win 11 games next year or 12 games next year with Justin Fields, the way it is currently constructed. Like, we can all safely say that that is a possibility, especially if you have to play Sam Darnold twice. That's two wins against the Vikings, right? Like, and the way this defense looks, I'll sure say 12 games is in the realm of possibility. So you have an asset and you are unsure about Caleb Williams. You are. I mean, and maybe sure. Not unsure is the right word, but this is the biggest decision.
You're doing your due diligence.
Yes, you're doing your due diligence. This is one of the biggest decisions the franchise has ever made in NFL history, right? At least it's been paved. It's been shaped that way this offseason.
Sure.
So you're telling me that in the biggest decision an NFL team would ever make in NFL history, that they would rush it and just get rid of the guy immediately so they could have more clarity before they even have met with the player that they want to draft for a full day and gone to his pro day and know his medicals and all the different things. And you can say what you want about the medicals, but that's a real thing. No, they have an asset that they like. Whether you like it or not, it appears the Bears like Justin Fields to some extent. They want to do right by him or whatever you want to call it. Kevin Warren speaks highly of him. We know Matt Eberflus speaks highly of them. Like, they like Justin Fields. And if they had the second overall pick, he'd be the quarterback in 2024. There's absolutely no reason to just offload him for extra value in the start when you are unsure about the quarterback that you could potentially draft or the quarterbacks that you could potentially draft. If it is JJ Daniels or Drake May, if they are, and just another guys, right? So that's why everyone's, oh, the market's diminished. They set the price tag as a first rounder and it's dropped so far from there. They did not do that. They did not set the price tag anywhere. They said, hey, if you want to send us a great offer, we might take it. But we're not just going to dangle Justin Fields in front of you for you to grab for a fifth-round pick. We're not doing that because we like him. We know what he's valued at. And if we go through this process and decide that, hey, Caleb's great, but he's not the one for us, we're going to hold on to him. And that is the smart thing to do. I don't know why fans are upset about this. This is what a thorough, diligent, intelligent general manager does. You know what a bad general manager does? He gets rid of Justin Fields the day after the season ends just to get him out of the building and focus on the next thing. That's what a bad general manager does before even doing their due diligence on the quarterback they might bring in. This is nothing but good signs for Ryan Poles. And look, I hate it for Justin Fields because I know he wants clarity. I know he said that. But at the end of the day, like, you don't have to appease Justin Fields. You didn't draft him. And this is a business, and you don't have to appease him. I know it's a luxury for him to be, know where his next team is, but I'd rather my GM do the due diligence on the guy who has question marks, but is one of the most highly touted prospects we've ever seen in NFL history. Like, this is what you do. This is the smart thing to do for Ryan Poles, and that's why I just get really, really frustrated about the whole market has diminished, and now nobody wants him, and the Bears set the price tag too high, and Justin Fields just sucks, and he might be a backup, and all these different things. That's not the case. Stick to what you were saying 3 months ago. Just because Kirk Cousins signed in Atlanta shouldn't change your opinion on Justin Fields.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, and I think it's clear at this point, even if, you know, whatever the situation was going to be, that maybe they expected somebody else to come through and blow them away with an offer. And clearly that's not what happened. Clearly that something else happened. I don't know, but it didn't go according to their plan. So now they're just playing the long game. Now yeah, they can afford
it. Are you suggesting that, or is that actually what you think? Like, are you suggesting that, or do you actually think that they had, like, you're suggesting they had a premeditated plan to trade him before free agency? I don't know if that's necessarily the case.
I think if somebody had offered a second round pick, they would have taken it. I think if they had gotten what they wanted, they would have taken it. I don't think somebody called and said, we'll give you a second rounder. And Ryan Poles said, no, we want to go through the process. Like, because they've had a long time to evaluate Caleb Williams, even without meeting with him personally. So sure, now they can have the luxury of time until the draft to do all their due diligence and for sure make sure. But if somebody called them with a second round offer, I don't think Ryan Poles was saying, sorry, we really want to make, we really want to sit down with Caleb Williams one more time. I just don't think that would have happened. I just don't like that you had that opportunity. If that opportunity was in front of you in your hand, the Bears aren't in a position, especially given their current draft situation as far as picks go this year, to say, eh, we're good. So I just don't think they got the offer they wanted. And so now they can just say, yeah, we're going to take our time and wait for somebody to get desperate. But I think if somebody had made the right offer, what they evaluated Justin at, they would have taken it.
I mean, maybe, but I think,
I think it's situations are situational. I think it's just, it is what it is until it isn't. And so it's just, this is how the market and how things have evolved and developed. And now they have the luxury and now it's kind of, the plan is there for them.
Yeah, I just sure. And that's like at the end of the day, like you move forward with what's available to you now and you find leverage wherever you can find it. But again, I am choosing it makes the most logical sense the way it's played out, that it was never an aggressive play. And honestly, like we can argue whether it was aggressive or not, it might have never been like officially for sale. Like maybe we are wrong about that in the first place. Like there's a world where that's a possibility. There is a world where it's a possibility where they had said, look, we are not going to do anything with Justin Fields until we know everything we want to know about Caleb. And I know people are going to say, well, look what Ryan Poles said at the combine. I think we've been reading way too much into about wanting to get this process done and wanting to get it done quicker. And that would be an indication that they were trying to trade Fields at a specific point in time. But in conjunction with that is the fact that they wanted to bring in Caleb Williams on March 2nd. They thought that they would have his medical reports in late February, the day of the combine, right? They thought themselves this process would be quicker. So now they have to adjust to a process that's been made longer for them out of their control. So now they have to wait until March 20th when they meet with Caleb Williams. Then he comes to House Hall the next day, I believe, for a full day visit. And I am Scox in the chat says, after Caleb's pro day, I expect him to be moved. And I agree. Once they know everything they know, then you'll start to get clarity. So that's where I'm setting the time marker at right now. If there's fans out there listening who are like, okay, if not now, then when? Is it draft day? Is it after the draft, after all the teams have filled the holes? No, I think it's sometime between now and the 3 or 4 days after, or sorry, not between, between the day of Caleb's pro day and 3 or 4 days after that. That is the time frame. You bring him in, you answer all the questions you need answered, you spend a day with him, you see if this guy can be a leader and be the quarterback of the Chicago Bears and the second biggest football market in the country, right? You figure those things out and you won't obviously know that for sure, but you'll have an idea after you meet with him and you go from there. And if you're quote unquote blown away, which is what the Bears were looking for last year and didn't find in Bryce Young and what they're looking for this year in Caleb Williams, if you are blown away, then you move Justin Fields and you still be smart about it and use your leverage to still trade him for nothing less than a fourth round pick. So that's, look, end of story. That's where it is. That's what I think is where this is heading. And I'm frustrated about where the how far we've come to the point where Justin Fields is bad and no one wants him. He's a top 20 quarterback in the NFL. He just is. I mean, it's almost not debatable in my opinion. So let's go to free agent. Do you have anything else on that? Anything else you want to speak your piece on?
I mean, my stance hasn't changed. I still think they're going to end up drafting Caleb Williams. I think it's just in a holding pattern right now.
Yeah, no, me too. Let's go to some free agency moves. I want to touch... we don't have to touch on Kirk Cousins. The only relevance about that is that he's out of the division. And if the Vikings do not get Luck at in the draft, if they're planning to move up or whatever it may be, that's,
well, they're at 11 right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, at the very least, they'll get Penix at the very least.
Sure. I mean, McCarthy could fall to them.
Yeah. McCarthy could fall to them. So it was likely that the starting quarterback week one will probably not be Sam Darnold, but nonetheless, that there's rumors about Justin Jefferson being traded. That could be a team that is just bad and bottoming out and rebuilding. And
I'm going to say something crazy. Are we sure that Darnold like can't be average? Are we sure the Vikings can't win 7 games?
I think they could maybe win 7 games, but they shouldn't keep Jefferson. Win 2 of them versus the Bears. If they keep Jefferson and have Darnold, they lost to Neil Hunter. Their defense is terrible.
Like Kevin O'Connell's a good coach.
He's a great coach.
He's a very good coach. Who's to say that Darnold can't be this year's Baker. I don't think we should be writing the Vikings off. Why?
We don't have to write them off, but I don't think they beat the Bears twice.
Sure, they could split.
I mean, they could split. I mean, if they have a rookie quarterback, I think it changes things. But,
With Darnold. Why can't the Bears have a rookie quarterback?
I'd be more confident in the Bears winning two games with Justin Fields against the Vikings than Caleb Williams at this moment because he's a rookie. We don't know. Like, that's not an indictment on either. That's just what we know about rookie quarterbacks versus guys who've been in the league. And Justin Fields has, you know, played decent against the Vikings in the past. So, I think you're right. But sure. Nonetheless, they're a worse team than what they were last year, right? With Kirk Cousins in the years past. That's the significance.
Unequivocally a downgrade.
So the Bears free agency moves, we'll kind of do a grade if you want. We'll do that whole thing that gets people riled up. Let's start with DeAndre Swift. Jake, I was not expecting this. I was expecting them to sign a running back. I didn't really have DeAndre Swift like at the top of my list on my radar. I thought they would have. I didn't think they'd break the bank on Saquon Barkley, but I thought they'd maybe be able to negotiate a deal that was worth it for them. And the thing that people need to understand is like, the Bears are not like, I feel like there's still this misconception about the fact that they have the first overall pick that they're so far away. Like they're not far away and they have the fourth most cap space in the NFL. You can afford paying DeAndre Swift $8 million a year. Like the contract itself is not detrimental to the future of the team. Like this is not a contract that will set you back. So he gets 3 years, $24.5 million. Explosive, versatile, dynamic, had his first 1,000-yard season last year in Philly. People were kind of frustrated by his performance because they have such a good offensive line, and he wasn't that consistent. He had 5 touchdowns rushing, but it should have been 12 if the tush push didn't exist, but they just give it to Jalen Hurts every time at the 1-yard line. I wasn't expecting it, but I am happy with it. Tell me your reaction to that and how you're feeling about that signing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a solid move. Like I agree with you that signing a running back to that contract is a move of a team that thinks they can make the playoffs. Same thing with when we get to it, Kevin Byard, like same thing. That's the sign. And that's the signing that a team who thinks they can make the playoffs next year makes. So it's fine. I'm not, you know, super strong feeling either way. It's an upgrade. DeAndre Swift is better than everyone else you had in that room. So, I mean, I think it makes sense from that standpoint and that purely it's an upgrade. Can he stay healthy? That's a big question because in his career, that's not been one of his strengths. But, I mean, it's fine, especially when you consider the contract that Saquon got, the contract that Josh Jacobs got. I think I'm a little frustrated. Like, Austin Eckler signed for, what, 2 years and $20 million or something? Like,
he might be washed up.
But I wouldn't have minded taking a swing there. Like, it, I don't know.
Taking a swing, I think Swift could be better.
Sure, it doesn't matter. Yeah, like, I'm happier that they gave Swift what they did than they did to Saquon, or rather than Saquon or Jacobs. Like, I'm fine with it. It's a solid B move. But I think overall, I think what the messaging is most important. It's a team indicating that they're ready to make the playoffs. Or at least that thinks they can make the playoffs.
Sure. And yes. And I think it's a fallout of... I think the Bears trading a 5th-round pick for Ryan Bates is part of the reason that they now signed DeAndre Swift. Now, that was probably in their plans all along. They probably had this deal hashed out like weeks ago, considering it was made about 2 minutes after free agency opened. Like, it literally happened at 11:02 Central Time, like 2 minutes after the tampering.
It was one of the first moves.
It was the first move of official tampering. But when you know, we have said long before, unless it's like, I kind of wanted the Bears to take Jahmyr Gibbs in like the second round last year. I didn't think he'd go in the top 10 or top 12 or wherever he went. But in general, unless you're getting like a Bijan or a Gibbs, like I don't really like taking a running back before round 4. So this year, you have no picks past round 4. So if you want to find an upgrade at the running back position, which they clearly do with the new offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron, then you got to go through free agency. And this was the most affordable, logical contract of all of them. I mean, Tony Pollard got the same exact money, and I wanted Tony Pollard on the Bears famously. But that was before last year. I wanted him to trade for Tony Pollard. That was before last year when he was a true RB1 bell cow, and he proved he could not fit in that role. He is a, you know, complimentary RB2 receiving back who has explosive ability, but cannot be the guy who's getting first down carries and holding the rock, you know, 25, 30 times a game. He's just not. DeAndre Swift can be that guy. He can be. He hasn't been that guy throughout his career. He's been sort of the similar comp to Tony Pollard, where he was a huge receiving back in Detroit, but he saw more of that RB1 role in Philadelphia and accumulated 1,000-yard season. And yes, great offensive line, but he is more fit for that role. But he also, like, this is not a Christian McCaffrey. Like, this is still a running back room that I think is going to be relatively divided with carries. I don't know if they hold on to Khalil Herbert at all once you get to training camp. I think he could be a player that's cut.
You're paying him nothing. Why not? And Swift can't stay healthy in his career, so.
Right, but I think Roschon Johnson is like the clear RB2 now, and you're kind of splitting Roschon and Swift, and Roschon's a guy that can run through the tackles and hit the right holes, and Swift is more of a dynamic, versatile back that you can use in different personnel sets and as a receiving back. So, look, I don't love, like, I would give it a B-, right? I gave it a B-. Like, it doesn't blow me away, but I think the big kicker for me, because I know most people are giving this a C or D, or like a lot of people don't like this, is just the comparison to the other running backs. Like, Jake, I think the Packers got worse at running back. Like, I really do. I am not a fan of Josh Jacobs. Yeah. I think Aaron Jones is better and better for that offense. And they just paid, what, 10.5 million dollars per year for Josh Jacobs, something like that. So I don't know. In comparison to the other teams that made moves, I think you made the right one at running back. So I'm not too upset about DeAndre Swift. Let's go to another offensive player in Gerald Everett. This is my home run A-plus move of the like, I'm actually serious. Like, not home run is the wrong word, but this is an A-plus move for the Bears if you're grading it. 2 years, $12 million, the best signing for the Bears, in my opinion, so far through free agency. Athletic tight end, really good yards after the catch. Complimentary Komet fits in well with the 12 personnel that Waldron runs. I thought they would go after a tight end, too. I thought they'd go after Noah Fant just because he was in Seattle with Waldron. But Everett is exactly the guy you need, and hopefully he actually catches the football, unlike Robert Tonyan. So your reaction to the Bears signing Gerald Everett?
Yeah, I mean, it's an athletic guy. I think last year he had 50-something catches, which is more than every Bears tight end not named Cole Kmet combined. So, yeah, clear upgrade. It's what you needed. We knew that Waldron would want to run two tight end sets. I think this is a good complimentary guy. Clearly it can't be a TE1, but he's good as a TE2. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, he's great as a TE2. I think he scored 5 times last year. Again, Jake mentioned that 51 receptions. And look, this is... like, the significance of this is real, and it's real when you look at the Bears offense the past couple of years, and really for the longest time, where they've tried to bring in guys to be a tight end too, like Jimmy Graham and like Robert.
It's been a revolving door.
And it's been a revolving door, and it's not like Everett is your like big time solution, but he's the most viable option of the guys that you've tried to bring in the past couple of years, right? Mercedes Lewis, right? And some of the other names you throw out, like, this is a guy that can actually.
Lewis was never going to be anything more than a blocker,
right?
And he'll probably be just, back.
Yeah, he actually. Yeah, he should. Even though he's, is he on the wrong side? Is he 40 now?
Yes, he's about 72.
He's 39, but I don't know when his birthday is, so he probably
believe it's like in April.
Okay. I don't, how do you know when
I remember Mercedes May, sorry. I was 1 month off.
So we'll be 40 next May 19th. Year. Might be time for him to retire. But yeah, Gerald Everett. I'm
getting
I don't
paid
know
well to do nothing. 40. It's the American dream. Yeah.
Hall of Famer at the bank. A+. Gerald Everett, what are you giving out?
It's B+, borderline A. It's fine. It's like it's what you needed. It fills a hole. Great. Not that you all know right. anything about that, but.
Oh, my. Oh, dude, that's 2 weeks in a row.
I know.
I'm getting slandered. You got to keep this as a running bit. I'm intrigued now to see what
last week's
what else can come up. Well, I don't even remember last week's, but we don't have to rehash.
I said 10 minutes was a long time for you, and you did nothing to dispute that claim. So,
I mean, you stop acting like you've ever reached 10 minutes in your life, buddy boy. I don't want to hear it. Also, we don't have to do this right now. No, we don't have to do this right now. That's for Bears Fish Podcast After Dark. There's an extended conversation I want to have with you about that. Kevin Byard, 2 years, $15 million. This was the first move made by the Bears in free agency. Here's my opinion on Kevin Byard here. I think too many people are looking at his contributions to the Eagles defense last year and kind of writing him off and thinking that it's just sort of a name signing, where this is a guy that's been an all pro. He was a stud, a top three safety in the NFL when he was with Tennessee, got traded. His production went down, got traded to Philadelphia, and just wasn't a factor. I think he was forced into a tough spot to come into that Philly defense that was already dysfunctional. And as a roaming free safety and tackler, was expected to just like fundamentally change the defense. Like they traded for Kevin Byard, like, oh, we're back. Eagles defense is going to go from being the 32nd worst defense defense in the NFL to being a Super Bowl contender again. And that's just not a position where that can happen. Like a safety isn't changing a defense in that way. So Kevin Byard, to me, you got good value for, like, it was almost good he went to Philadelphia, and that was the narrative around him, because you're getting $7.5 million per year for a player who can still be maybe not all pro talent, but very, very productive. A great compliment to Jaquan Brisker. Excuse me. Everybody loves him. Mike Vrabel was like crying when they traded him last year. He's a great dude in the community. I think this was an underrated signing, and I know people are criticizing it. I'm going to give this a B+. I think Kevin Byard's going to be a big-time contributor, and I think he's going to return closer to that Tennessee form from a couple years ago than what he was in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things to consider here. One of those being that the Eagles had Matt Patricia as their defensive coordinator at one point last year. Like, let's be very clear about that. Like, Matt Patricia was their defensive coordinator at one point last year. And the other part being that Kevin Byard doesn't have to be the guy. Jaquan Brisker is your guy.
Good
He's
point.
Your dude in the secondary, well, at least at safety position. Byard can just be along for the ride. He can fill that intro role type, what role, for lack of a better term. Wow, that was horrible. That spot, you know, that he can fill that Adrian Amos role, where it's, you're not expected to be the playmaker, make the flashy plays, be at the center of everything. You can just come along for the ride, make the fundamental plays, don't make mistakes, and you're going to look great because you have a stud opposite you. I think that's going to help too. Jaquan Brisker is that dude. Byard just has to be a guy that minimizes mistakes and is on cleanup duty. And that's it. And then it's a good signing. So, yeah, it's fine. I have no issues with it. I think it's a solid signing. And let's rock. Yeah, I mean, it's fine.
Let's rock. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, It fills a hole. It was a hole, and you filled it pretty quick. And it's a guy who's been productive. You know what you're getting out of him. You don't have to take a risk with a safety, with a rookie. Like that's what you want. And I know people are just underwhelmed in general. So we're recording this March 13th at around 7:40 p.m. Central Time. Like, I know people at this point are underwhelmed. I know we didn't mention Jonathan Owens, who comes in as a reserve defensive back and safety, whatever, coming over from Green Bay. Whatever. Brett Rypien comes in as a backup quarterback.
Big whatever.
Big whatever. And there's, excuse me, someone else I'm missing. Matt Pryor, offensive lineman, sorry, coming from the Niners last year, who didn't start a single game. So yeah, another depth piece, whatever. I think there's a lot of people, Jake, that are underwhelmed by what Ryan Poles has done thus far. And of course, like, they're going to sign somebody immediately after we record this podcast, because that's what happens. But like, this is, first of all, like, you have to remember, at the very first thing they did was the best thing they did. And they extended Jalen Johnson, and they gave him and for a very affordable contract. All right. So they did that. Months ago, they gave $90 million to Montez Sweat. We have forgotten about that, right? You brought in and extended a player that you traded for to a big time contract to be your big time pass rusher for the next 4 years. All right. So those are two players you kept in house. And people have long said that you would much rather keep your guys in house and spend money extending your own players than going out and getting new ones. That is generally what good teams do. They extend their own players and the guys they have, instead of going out and paying money to other guys and lure them here. So I am not frustrated by what they have done. And I still think there's moves to be made. And you have to remember, they have two first round draft picks. Like, you have to remember that they have, they have 2 seconds. Am I blanking?
No, excuse this me. Year.
This
year they have none.
They have the none this year. And then they have the threes. They have the 2 threes. Sorry. They have the 2 threes. My apologies. So, they have, like, you're still getting good players at the threes. You have places to fill this team. I would rather them do this than overspend. And like, I wanted Calvin Ridley on the Bears, but you were going to spend $98 million, right? Like, that's not what you were going to do. So, in general, what is your sort of overall feeling? Because I'm like, okay, this is all part of the process. I think he's being diligent and taking it slow the same way he is with the number one overall pick. I'm not just going to look at every sign and go, I can't believe we didn't get to Danielle Hunter, who's about to be on the wrong side of 30. I can't believe, you know, we're doing, you're not getting all these guys and throwing all this money around. You don't have to. And I don't think you should. So your general feeling of what the Bears have done so far.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I think it's the biggest move that is going to happen still yet to come with the draft. And, you know, I think they're still in the market for a receiver or two. I still feel like they'll sign like a Tyler Boyd or a Hunter Renfrow or somebody like that for the slot. I think Tyler Boyd would be a great fit. I think people are frustrated that a defensive tackle wasn't signed. Obviously, there were a lot out there, Chris Jones being the premier one. But I think it just means that the Bears are comfortable with Zach Pickens and Gervon Dexter, and they're probably just going to bring Justin Jones back, which is fine.
No, they can't. Justin Jones got signed. He got signed. He got picked up by the Cardinals, I believe. He got a three-year deal.
All right. Well, so maybe you bring in some veteran defensive linemen and whatever, but it says to me that they like what they have. And Pickens and Gervon Dexter Sr. So I'm sure they'll still bring somebody in. It's just they're not swimming in the deep end of the pool. And maybe they're saving that for, like, let's be honest. If they trade for T. Higgins and give him a big contract, then everything's okay, right? Like, everything's
fine.
Yeah,
but they're not going to do that. But
why not? I mean, they probably won't. But, I mean, who knows? And, like, things get weird here. So, you know, if they sign Tyler Boyd and Mike Williams tonight,
yes,
are we really going to be that upset? So,
can we pitch that right now?
I mean, I'm fine with it. Like, he, again, kind of like Swift, like, has the big playability, but can never stay on the field. So, yeah. I think it's fine. Like, free agency literally opened today. It's the first day of the new league year today, as of this recording. Like, free agency has been officially open for like 12 hours. So everybody relax. Again, we got like 45 days until the draft. It's going to be a long haul. It's not over. Ryan Poulsen's going, okay, great. Got my backup tight end. Got my starting running back. Got my starting safety. Okay, I'm done. Like, there will be more moves and it'll be fine. And yes, the biggest move is still not to come until mid-April anyway, in wherever the draft is being held. I don't even know. So
in Detroit.
So everybody relax. It's going to be fine. There will be moves made. And, like, I mean, Kevin, kind of tied to your original point, general managers who make bad moves are the ones that are at the first, they're rushing to sign everybody right away anyway, and just throw money at people. Like, remember how that went in the Ryan Pace era when you were just throwing money at people? Remember how that went? Remember Lamar Houston? Remember Pernell McPhee? How did that go? So everybody relax. It'll be fine. They'll sign people. I mean, you're in a position, like, where is the glaring need anyway, other than quarterback, which you're not going to sign one. Again, you got to wait for that anyway. So at least you got to wait for a resolution to that. So, like, where's the big glaring need? Like Kevin said, you signed the big glaring need. You signed Jalen Johnson. You signed Montez Sweat. You can find a pass rusher. So it'll be fine. Yeah, I mean, I think the signings have been solid. I know they're not done, which is why I'm just kind of like, okay, let's, you know, keep it going. Keep stacking these solid signings. Then hopefully you make the right decision at quarterback and you can be a playoff team.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I'm with you. I think we're far from over with this. I'll real quick pitch you on Mike Williams. The only interesting thing about that is you said injury prone, and yes, injury prone for sure. Coming off an ACL, might not even be ready week one. I believe he tore that ACL pretty late in the year last year. So might not be ready initially. But because the Chargers cut him, I believe they still owe him a certain amount of money that the Bears don't have to pay. So similar to the Russell Wilson situation in Pittsburgh, they don't have to break the bank for this player. He is owed money by the Chargers, and you can get Mike Williams on a cheaper contract for way smaller than what he's actually worth.
Probably the veteran minimum.
I think it would be a little bit more than the veteran minimum, because I think that's what Russell Wilson got. But Russell Wilson is being owed like $38 million from Denver. I believe Mike Williams only getting $20 million from the Chargers. So I think he still has the ability to negotiate a new contract, obviously, but no team is going to pay him probably more than $5 million per year on the new contract. It probably will be like a one-year contract if I had to guess with the team that signs him. High risk. And high reward.
Because you're not sure he can stay on the field, yeah.
Yeah, so high risk from that aspect, low risk from a financial standpoint, but extremely high reward. I mean,
especially if you're paying him nothing.
a true X receiver, which is exactly what you're missing from this offense and would be great for a rookie quarterback. That's exactly what you need. But, Jake, it's interesting. We talked about Calvin Ridley real quick. We'll touch on this, then we'll head out. Because Tennessee just gave Calvin Ridley $90 million, that's the team that has the 8th overall pick, I believe.
Seventh
overall pick. A lot of people thought that they would take a wide receiver. They have now filled the void at wide receiver one. They don't really have a clear – I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is there. So I guess they do have a clear wide receiver two, but who knows how long he'll really be there if they want to really build something up for the future. But I guess they – yeah. Who? Traylon Burks.
And he's still on a rookie deal.
And he's been real bad. So, now that you say that, I just think it's out of the question they take a receiver. I just don't think.
At that spot, yeah.
At that spot. So, you have gotten to a position now where they're not going to take a receiver. I think Atlanta would be stupid to take a receiver. I think Drake London's really good and hasn't really had the opportunity to show it. Pitts, you are London, going Bijan. To get one of Odunze neighbors or Marvin. I don't think that's going to happen. But Odunze or neighbors.
Yeah, let's play it out really fast. Like, first three picks are quarterbacks. Fourth pick is probably Marvin Harrison Jr. to Arizona. Fifth pick is likely Brock Bowers to the Chargers to give Justin Herbert another weapon. Sixth pick, Giants, is probably going to be an offensive lineman, or maybe let's say it's a receiver. Let's see, it's Malik Nabers here. So that's
six. It is Nabers.
So then, and then 7-8, Atlanta, Tennessee, two offensive linemen back to back. And at 9, you're sitting there with Odunze probably on the board.
Yeah. So I think the only thing that would prevent the Bears from getting one of the top wide receivers is if a team trades up to 7 or 8. Which I don't see why not.
Which I think could.
I think Atlanta would trade down.
I don't think anybody would trade up for a receiver. I think more likely like Minnesota or Denver would trade up for like McCarthy maybe, especially if the Chargers sit at 5 and take Joe Alt, let's say, and they take an offensive lineman, then maybe that makes that market a little bit thinner. But yeah, I mean, you are set up to probably to snag likely Rome Odunze, but one of the top three receivers for sure.
Would it tell you anything if they sign Mike Williams? Like, would that preclude them from no. I think
you need two receivers regardless.
Yeah, but Mike Williams would be your
if it's a 1 year contract, no.
If it's a 1 year contract, no. But if
it's
a
2 year contract.
I don't think it even can be a 2 year contract. Like not technically, right. But I just don't think I don't think it's worth it. So
like you need two receivers regardless. And we know Odunze, like we know DJ Moore can play all over the field. He doesn't have to be out wide. So even if Odunze you feel like he can only play out wide, you put Moore in the slot half the time and Williams on the other end outside. And then Williams is going to miss 7 games anyway. So
I look, the bottom line is you're getting a very good player at 9. And there's a chance, like you're saying, like the smoke around JJ McCarthy and the smoke around Bo Nix. Like Jake, it's not even out of the question that Bo Nix gets in the top 15. I really don't think it is. And I don't think it's out of the question. You could see 5 quarterbacks in the top 15, leaving a hell of a lot of good players there for you. And 100%. Like that trickles down to the later rounds. So that is just, I got to rehash my memory on the draft picks that we have other than the threes. That's 2 3s, a 1, a 9, a 3. So 1 3, sorry, 2 4s. 2 4s. So my apologies. I've been way off on this. 1 3, 2 4s. But you know, these things trickle down. I gotta say, I really want Jaxson Powers-Johnson somehow, some way. I just need that dude to be a Bear. But nonetheless, Jake, we'll close with this. Chicago Bears gonna be a good team next year, regardless. And I think I'd be very upset if it is Caleb Williams or Justin Fields, they don't make the playoffs. I mean, this is a team that is filled with talent. It could be a top 5 defense. Offensive skill players who are dynamic, especially if you bring Odunze, a last place schedule. That's so critical. A division that is, you know, I guess theoretically weaker because of Minnesota. Seemingly up for grabs. I think Detroit got a lot better with Carlton Davis and the cornerbacks they signed. I think they're going to win the division again. But the Bears should make the playoffs, and I think they're going to be a good team. And it might be a good time to be a Bears fan until they fucking keep Fields and Caleb and screw this all up. So.
Yep. Until the locker room eats itself alive. Can't wait. Yeah. All right. Well, Bears Nation Podcast. This has been another edition of. We'll talk to you whenever stuff happens again. I don't know. Maybe they'll sign T. Higgins and trade for him. I don't know. maybe they'll trade Justin Fields overnight and we'll look like a bunch of idiots and we'll have to redo this whole thing. But until then, this has been Bears Nation Podcast. Appreciate the people in the chat, the people viewing, the people listening. As you know, as I say all the time, you guys are the best. We mean it. We appreciate you and we appreciate the support, and we will be back whenever something happens next. So thank you. Follow us at @Jake_HAS2 on Twitter, at KevCharles112 or whatever the fuck it is, at Bears Nation Pod. And we will see you next time. And until then, bear down.